Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
It's the dictionary.
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 Hello, word nerds. And welcome to the dictionary. I am Spencer, and here are the words. Right here. Okay, the first word is the second form of foxtrot, two words with a hyphen. It's an intransitive verb from 1916, which is quite a few years. Oh, no, wait, hold on. I'm trying to remember. I think, yes, I did. Okay, I got to get my brain all back into sorts, which is sometimes hard to do. So, it is to dance the foxtrot, which of course we learned was a ballroom dance in duple time with slow walking steps, quick running steps, and the step of the two-step. The step of the two-step. Let's go foxtrotting tonight. Let's go. Let's go have some fun, everybody. Hee-wee. All right, it's sound effects time. I shall do... something. Now we have the word foxy, F-O-X-Y. It's an adjective from 1528. Number one, resembling or suggestive of a fox, as in a narrow, foxy face. It's like a fox. I need to shout out, coincidence time, maybe? Just this morning, the podcast Ologies released their episode about all about gray foxes. And I said, well, look at that. I just recorded an episode about foxes yesterday. And so what wonderful timing. It's like Eurosinology. I'll have to put a link in the show notes for this gray foxes episode on Ologies, the podcast Ologies. Fascinating stuff. They're going to do, I think, another episode more about quote-unquote normal foxes, but these gray foxes have a very sort of like gray, black, white coat, but then like underneath it looks like it's kind of orange, like your typical foxes. And so they have beautiful foxy faces. Foxy faces. 1A, this is the sub, resembling or suggestive of a fox as 1A, cunningly shrewd. And in that episode, the expert, the gray fox expert, said that this idea of foxes being cunning and shrewd and smart came from Aesop's Fables over 2,000 years ago. So you have Aesop to thank for that. 1B, of a warm reddish-brown color, as in foxy eyebrows. This is one of those silly examples that's like just a little highly specific. A foxy hair would have worked just fine, but they decided to throw in eyebrows. It's just their eyebrows on this person that are a reddish brown color. Their hair is jet black, but somehow they have foxy eyebrows. Look at my foxy eyebrows. Hmm. Can't do the double thing with my eyebrows. Okay, that's a visual thing. Number two, having a sharp, brisk flavor. Oh, this is interesting. As in foxy grapes, which probably is about, didn't we have fox grape? In the, yes, we did. There's fox grape. Because they are sour or musky, and so a foxy grape has a sour or musky flavor, and that would be a sharp, brisk flavor, probably. Ooh, these grapes are so sharp in my mouth, it's foxy. This is definitely a new one to me. It's very specific to the fox grape. Number three, physically attractive, as in the example, a foxy lady. Bom, bom, bam, bom, bom, bam, bom, bam. Foxy. Foxy lady. That scene in Wayne's World. Is it the first one or the second one? I think it's the first one where Dana Carvey, as Garth, is lip-syncing Foxy Lady to the lady who he thinks is Foxy. I think about this more often than I probably should because it's just so silly. Every time the song comes on, of course, I think about that scene. That's the only thing I think about, really. Foxy. Foxy Lady. Great song by Jimi Hendrix, right? I think so. Hopefully I got that correct. A synonym is the word sly. But I don't think that one works with all these definitions. No. Relating to a fox, sure. Maybe physically attractive. Sly, sure, that's fine. A sharp, brisk flavor? Sly? Those are some sly grapes right there. Sliding in. Yeah, okay. Foxily is an adverb, and foxiness is a noun. Oh, no etymology, don't think so. Nope, okay, so we're going to go on to... We have the word foy. F-O-Y. Noun from circa 1645. This is chiefly Scottish, and it is a farewell feast or gift. As you are leaving, let's have a feast. Maybe you're about to go on a big trip. You're going to move. You're going to go to college. You're leaving us. Why are you leaving us? We must throw a foy in your honor. Or maybe at the end of the party, you get a farewell gift. And that is also a foy. Why is this foy? It is Dutch dialect, foy, which means feast at end of the harvest. So when the harvest is done, we have a feast and we call it a foy. The Scottish people are taking a Dutch word, I guess. Interesting. I think we need to have more foys, more feasts and gifts, please and thank you. Next is, you can pronounce it foyer or foyer or foyer. I think you could also emphasize the second syllable if you wanted to. Foyer. Foyer. Yay. Okay, this is a noun from 1833. It is an anteroom or lobby, especially of a theater. Also, an entrance hallway. The synonym is vestibule. It's the place where you enter and maybe you're hanging out. It's just a little area for coming inside. Maybe having a little chat with some people. Maybe putting your coat on the rack. And then you leave the foyer or the foyer or the foyer. All of those options are fantastic. This is French. It literally means fireplace. Did people have fireplaces in their entry halls? From the vulgar Latin, vocarium. From the Latin, focus, which means hearth. So that would be like the place where everybody is focused around, hanging out. Living room, fireplace. That's where people want to be often, unless they're hanging out in the kitchen. But back in the day, The kitchen was for the kitchen staff. The people were not hanging out in the kitchen. But these days, people love to be in the kitchen. That's where the food and drinks are. Yeah, interesting etymology. It's from the place where people were getting together, hanging out, but now it's the entry into the building, the house, the theater, whatever it is. The foyer. I think you've got to say it. Foyer. Is foyer more appropriate in a Frenchy way? I feel like no. Foyer? I don't know French well enough. We have no more F-O words. We did them all. We now have FP, abbreviation for freezing point. FP again, all caps, abbreviation for fielding percentage. That would be in when you're playing a sport. What's your percentage out in the field? FPC, all caps, abbreviation for frish. Frish? Fish protein concentrate. Concentrate all that fish protein into a yummy powder. Give me that FPC. FPM, abbreviation for feet per minute. How many feet per minute can you walk? Can you run? I can walk 3 feet per minute. 3 FPM. I'm very slow. FPO, all caps, abbreviation for Fleet Post Office. Fleet Post Office? Is this like the fleet who work at the post office? All of those fleet of postal workers and cars? Postal cars? Mail cars? It's the fleet. I don't know how you use this one. FPS, abbreviation for 1 feet per second. Number 2, foot pound second. 3, frames per second. And that's the one that I use regularly in my day-to-day life. I'm always thinking about frames per second. How many frames per second is that video? What is the frames per second in real life? The frames per second of these videos, if you're watching, is 23.98. And I still don't fully understand why we still sometimes use 23.98 instead of a solid 24 or 29.97 instead of a solid 30. It has to do with the way that old film works. And now we're in a digital age and I don't think we need those. But I guess sometimes we still use them and I don't care for it. But whatever, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I'm doing the 23.98 FPS. But what is real life? Well, back in the day, a lot of films were, I think they were a lot of like 16 and 18 frames per second. And so that's why these days they get played at like maybe 24 frames per second, which became standard. And that's why they look a little fast. But now we've gotten into the world of 30 frames per second, and for video games, it's like 60 or higher, and because people really want that smooth motion. But a lot of people say that 24 frames per second is more cinematic, more like a movie, because we're used to seeing movies in that way. And I'll give you a little bit of inside baseball when we're talking about film. When you have a higher frame rate, higher FPS, more frames per second, you have smaller motion blur. So when I make this motion with my hand, you can see there's a lot of motion blur. But if I were shooting this at 60 frames per second, each frame would be a shorter amount of time, and so there would be less motion blur. So if you want something super real in that way, then maybe you gotta go with the higher frame rate. I love the slow motion videos where they're shooting at thousands of frames per second, because then when you play it back at a normal speed of 23 or 25 or 30, it's very, very slow, and I love it oh so much. High FPS. Now we're in the FR section, which is probably going to go on for a very long time. FR, abbreviation for 1, father. 2, Frank or Franck. Number 3, friar. And number 4, from. FR again, but the F is capitalized. This is the first form. It's an abbreviation for number one, France or French. And number two, Friday. It's not Friday right now for me. It's Wednesday. But it's a short week because it was a holiday week. And so I'm only 2 days away from Friday. Yay! Friday. Choo-choo-choo-choo. The second form of capital F, lowercase r, is the symbol for francium. And we probably mentioned that a while ago, but we are actually going to see the actual francium coming up at some point here, probably, right? Are we going to even see? Here's francium. That will be just four or five episodes from now. Okay. Now we have fra. I think that's the proper way to say it. Fra. Capital F-R-A. Noun from 1722. It is used as a title equivalent to the word brother, preceding the name of an Italian monk or friar. And friar, we just saw before, the F-R abbreviation is for friar. So it's related. It sure is, because this is Italian. It is short for frate, which is from the Latin frater. It doesn't say this, but there is more at the word brother. And I believe frater means brother. And so fra, so you, what would you say? Would you say if there is a monk or a friar named Luigi, would you say Fra Luigi? Because it's what you put before their name. It's equivalent to brother. Brother Luigi, brother Mario. Fra Mario, Fra Luigi. All right, and yes, friar, I believe, comes from the same similar etymology, probably. Brother. Because those people, those monks, those friars, they're brothers. All right, anything else about that? I don't think so. So we gotta go to fracas. Yes, you can say fracas, or you can say fracas. Or the British people like to say fraca. Fraca? With no S. Fraca. F-R-A-C-A-S. This is a noun from 1716. Let's see, the plural would be fracases, but the British plural would be fracas, because that's where they pull in the S, fracas. Okay, this means a noisy quarrel. That's what it is. The synonym is brawl. The British people might be seeing a lot of brawls in their pubs. Is that stereotypical of me to say? Possibly. I apologize. The Americans probably have a lot of brawls and fracases in our bars as well. So, where does this word come from? And why are the British people pronouncing it differently? That's what I want to know. Well, I believe this is because it is French. It is, it means din, or row, or row, however you want to say those. Probably row would be more. So it's like a fight. From the Italian, fracasso, or fracasso, which is from fracassare, which means to shatter. Oh, that's interesting. So, I don't know, maybe people shattering bottles and glasses while they're fighting, or being thrown through windows like in an old saloon. Or something breaking because people are having a din or a row or a noisy quarrel or a brawl. Once I heard raccoons having a fracas because they sounded like they were fighting. They were probably having just a domestic fight. I believe then the British pronunciation is more appropriate. Because it is probably how the French would have said this word, or do say this word. Do we need to look that up real quick? Let's look up. Let's go to our handy dandy translate page. And we are going to change this one. What was that on Mongolian? Why was that on Mongolian? You know, I gotta learn about the Mongolian words. So the word is fracas. Okay. First of all, it translates in English to smash. And I'm going to turn up these speakers so we can hear what the fake voice, how they pronounce it.
Fraca.
Yep. They have no need for that S at the end until it's plural, until there are multiple smashes, multiple crashes, multiple shatters, multiple brawls. Fracas. I'm no good with the French. Okay, good job, everybody. Although I'm going to keep on saying fracas because I just like to say that word. Next is fracking, noun from 1953. This is the injection of fluid into shale beds at high pressure in order to free up petroleum resources. And examples of those would be oil or natural gas. Frack is a verb. So this is a big old deal. This is very divisive. People who on the left and the right have different feelings about this process. The word is by shortening and alternating from hydraulic fracturing. Fracturing got shortened to fracking. So they know deep down in the ground under these shale beds or around these shale beds, that's kind of rock, they know or they think that there's oil and natural gas, but it's not coming up. And we really, really want to get that stuff so we can sell it and power our devices and our vehicles with this stuff that's very bad for the environment. It puts all this nasty crap out in the air. And we really, 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 really want it. And so our scientists in the 50s, I guess, devised a way to be like, well, why don't we just shoot some stuff in there to push it out? And then we're going to have it. Because we can't wait for it to naturally come out. No, we need it now. Because we're running out of this stuff and we really, really want it. I want my oil. All right, so yeah, fracking. I don't think it's probably the best thing for us to be doing. And I think we really need to be trying to do a lot more of the natural things. The electric cars, the solar power, the hydro power, all those sorts of things. But I am no expert, so I shall shut up. Next we have fractal. Noun from 1975. This is any of various extremely irregular curves or shapes for which any suitably chosen part is similar in shape to a given larger or smaller part when magnified or reduced to the same size. And these fractals are cool. I shall post some pictures of fractals on the social media. Fractal is also an adjective. And I'd be shocked if you have never heard of this or seen this, but basically the idea is you have a shape. Let's say it's just some swirly shape. But as you zoom in to the edges, you see the same swirly shape. You zoom in further. It's the same swirly shape. Oh my gosh, it's a fractal. And it just goes on like that in infinity. And usually we see these in, you know, computer-generated things that can go on for infinity. But there are some naturally occurring things. I want to look up... natural fractal. That rhymes, which I also appreciate. Here, 9 amazing fractals found in nature. This is one. Yes. Number 1, Romanesco broccoli. This has lots of, I don't even know how to describe this. It's spirally and more spirally and more spirally. And if you have never seen Romanesco broccoli in person, you must go find some right now, please and thank you. It's a hybrid of broccoli and cauliflower. It grows in a golden spiral, a pattern based on the golden ratio. The spiral gets wider by a factor of phi, that's the Greek symbol, for every quarter turn it takes. This vegetable's tendency to produce buds at an accelerating rate causes this spiral pattern and resulting conical shape. The tip gets taller and taller as the broccoli grows. Oh, this looks so... It looks fake. It looks fake. Pine cones are fractals. Succulents can be fractals. Ice and snow. Tree branches. Yes, I remember having some sort of computer program way back in the day where you could make a tree thing. And basically, and I still look at the trees in this way, that if you got the big old trunk, and then if you have one branch that comes off, and then if you have another branch that comes off that branch at the similar angle and position as the original one, and it just keeps on going, you start to create this very tree shape. So you add a branch here and a branch here and a branch here, and then it adds on each of those the same type of branch. It's like, whoa, dude, you got a tree. Right there, you got a tree. Look at trees in that way. You'll see something cool. Copper crystals. Rivers? Interesting. Leaf veins and foam. These are all, I guess, fractally in their creation. Okay, fractal. Where does this word come from? It's French, from the Latin fractus, which means broken or uneven. Also from the verb frangere, which means to break, plus the French al, which is just a suffix, and that's it. So breaking something up into its pieces or something, I don't know. But fractals are very, very cool. They make my brain go, ow! Next is fracted. F-R-A-C-T-E-D. Fracted. Adjective from 1547. This is obsolete, and the synonym is broken, which fits perfectly with that etymology that we just read. We just read it from that Latin verb frangere, which means to break. So if you have broken a vase, your mom's favorite vase, then that vase is a fracted vase. Okay. Next is fraction. Noun from the 14th century, number 1A. A numerical representation indicating the quotient of two numbers. And we have an example here. So the decimal version would be 3.234. And, this is not what I was expecting to see. The numerical representation indicating the quotient of two numbers. So I guess, is 3.234 a fraction? I would call that a decimal and not a fraction, because the fraction portions with the slashes are 3 over 4, 3 fourths, which would be 0.75. And the other one is 5 eighths, 5 over 8. And I don't know that number off the top of my head. Is it 0.625? I'm not sure. Or 3.234, is that also a fraction because it's not a whole number? Maybe. The quotient of two numbers. I don't know enough about those numbers, so we're going to go to 1B1. A piece broken off, and the synonym is fragment. Oh, we just watched a movie. We just watched a movie that had a lot of fragments of glass, fractions of glass around, and it was very scary. Number 1B2, a discrete unit, and the synonym is portion, just a little piece. I am reading you a fraction of the dictionary, just a little portion, a very, very, very tiny portion. I don't even know what the fraction would be. It would be 1/1000s, 1/5000, I don't even know. Number 2, one of several portions separable by fractionation. And examples of what these portions are would be of a distillate. Something's been distilled, and you've used fractionation, and so a part of that is a fraction. Number three, the synonyms are bit and little. Can I just have a little bit of that thing? Just a fraction of your pie? That would be wonderful. Please, a fraction of pie? That's all I want. The example is a fraction closer. I'm going to step a fraction closer, just a little bit closer. Still have to have my mouth by the mic. I'm a little bit closer. It's very awkward standing like this. Okay, I'm not going to do that anymore. Let's see. Yes, the etymology says this is from the Latin fractio, which means act of breaking, from the Latin frangere, which means to break, and there's more at the word break. So you're just breaking off a piece of that Kit Kat bar. Give me a fraction of that Kit Kat bar. No, actually, give me the whole Kit Kat bar. I don't want a fraction of it. But you can break me off a piece, and then another piece, and another piece, and just give me the whole thing. Fraction-y. Next is fractional, with an A-L at the end. Adjective from 1650. Number one, of relating to or being a fraction. Are you a fraction? Then you are fractional. Number two, of relating to or being fractional currency. So would this be like the, in America, the pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters are all of those fractional currencies because they are a fraction of the dollar? I'm going to say yes. Okay. Number three, relatively small, and the synonym is inconsiderable. Inconsiderable. It's so, we don't even need to consider it. It's so tiny, it makes no sense. This is like an office space. They were taking fractions of a penny and putting them into their own account, and they were fractional. They were so small, they didn't even, nobody cared about them. Number four, of relating to or involving a process for separating components of a mixture through differences in physical or chemical properties, as in fractional distillation. We saw earlier, we had a similar thing about this distillate thing. Where was that? Can't find it. It was in fraction? Spencer, you got to read. Here we go. One of several portions, like a distillate, separable by fractionation, which are we going to see that later? I don't even think we're going to see fractionation. We got something similar up there, maybe, but, well, there's that. There's fractionate. Yeah, I think it's going to be in that one, probably. Okay, so fractional, relating to involving a process for separating components of a mixture through differences in physical or chemical properties. So you're taking some stuff, you got some stuff, and you're breaking it apart into its pieces based on its physical properties, chemical properties. You probably have to put them in some sort of chemical bath to get those chemical pieces to break apart, and you're taking it down, you're fractionaling it, which I'm just going to say is a verb, into its fractional pieces. Fractionally is an adverb. All right, we now have one more word for this episode, and we've already seen it. We briefly talked about it just mere minutes ago. It is fractional currency. Two words, noun from 1862. Number one, paper money in denominations of less than $1 issued by the U.S. from 1863 to 1876. So I did not realize that the U.S. government was making paper money for things smaller than $1. And of course, now, I mean, I gotta look it up. I gotta see what I am not a, you know, money and coin nerd, which I say lovingly. You know, I have an appreciation for these old coins and monies. Let's see, fractional currency, and then let's just type in U.S. 1863. I had to find the numbers. We're gonna put this link in the show notes. 50 cent paper money. depicting Francis E. Spinner. Who even was that? An American politician from New York. He served as treasurer of the U.S. from 1861 to 1875. So he was like, you know what? You're going to put my face on that money, that 50-cent paper money. I'm the treasurer while that money is being, maybe it didn't even exist. And he was like, I want my face on some money. And so I'm going to create this fractional currency and you're going to put my face on there. Please and thank you. Because it seems like this fractional currency lined up perfectly with his time as treasurer. Fascinating. Are there other ones? The first issue, there was 5 cent, 10 cent, 25 cent, and 50 cent. And that looks like that was... There was even in the third issue, in 1864 to 1869, there was a 3 cent paper money. What? That seems crazy. Now, if somebody had any of these, that would be worth a lot of money, and I would never want to sell it. Oh, and they got pictures of all these. These are cool. There's the 3 cent one, I think. Very cool. Man, I'm sure these things barely even exist anymore. A lot of them are like, they're not quite square, but they're closer to square than our typical money now. Oh man, these are super duper crazy and cool. And I don't know if I even knew about these. Sweet fractional currency. All right, well, I talked about that a while. Now let's talk about number two, currency in denominations less than the basic monetary unit. And so these ones are not probably paper. These are the coins probably, and lots of different countries have these. Is it in England? They have the different coins that have, they have the shape of the shield, but it's broken up by the different coins, so you can put them together to create the shield. I think that might be England. Could be wrong. Apologies if I'm wrong. All right. Well, we have reached the time in our show where we must pick a word of the episode. And if we don't, the whole world will end. So we are going to reread them quickly. We had foxtrot, foxy, foy, foyer, or foyer, or foyer, or yeah. FP, FP, FPC, FPM, FPO, FPS, FR, 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 FRA, fracas, fracking, fractal, fracted, fraction, fractional, and fractional currency. And I'm a little torn. Do I pick fractional currency? Do I pick foxy? Wow, that fractional currency is foxy. This paper keeps on falling out. I need to have my paperclip on it. Let's see. I don't think I need to pick any of the other ones, so I am torn now between foxy and fractional currency. Two very similar words. Let's pick fractional currency as the word of the episode, but look at that fractional currency from 1863. It's super duper foxy. It's staring at me. That old treasurer is looking at me on the 50-cent piece of paper called the fractional currency. That old treasury man is foxy! Foxy! All right, that's fine. Let's see. Do I have another movie to tell you about? Trying to think. I need to bring up my list. I believe I mentioned the... I think I know what it is. Yes, it is the new documentary on HBO/Max called Pee-wee as Himself. And this is a 2-part documentary. So I think total it's about 3.5 hours. And it's a documentary about Paul Reubens is what it is. And he spent a whole lot of his life as Pee-wee. And, it's beautiful and funny and sad and eye-opening and really amazing. And if you don't know, he passed away, I think it was July of 2023. He was battling cancer and almost nobody knew about it. He was incredibly secretive. The filmmakers didn't even know about it. And he died before they really finished the documentary. I think they were actually trying to get one more interview and they didn't get it. So then they had to finish the documentary after he passed away. And Man, I could use so many more hours of this, but this is what we get, about 3.5 hours. And I like that it doesn't feel rushed, but you get all the different main points of his life, and they are, I think, well fleshed out, each one, each sort of main point in his life. But you just get to learn about who he was, and I think what he went through in those years, in mostly the 90s, I guess, he went through a lot of undeserved crap. And I feel really bad for him because he had to live with that for most of his life. And he was just somebody who wanted to bring joy and happiness and love and creativity to the world, to kids, to adults, to everybody. What a fascinating person. And I wish I would have gotten to meet him. Watching Pee-wee's Playhouse in my childhood at my house, the whole family watched it on Saturday mornings, and that was a big part. And it, you know, helped to make me who I am. And I think just yesterday, in the previous episode, I was wearing a Pee-wee's Big Adventure Alamo bike shirt. And yeah, highly recommend this documentary. If you got Max, that's where you got to watch it. I hope that they will release it in other places too, but they probably won't. All right, that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for checking out this show. And until next time, this is Spencer dispensing information. Goodbye.